Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby, live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is indeed the broadcast for April the 24th in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is our two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we got a row to hoe, but we take courage in our God, in our family, in our country, and we hope you will do the same and join us. If you want to participate financially, the Widow's Mite Radio Network would love your financial support. LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com. Donate and get involved today. All right, so last hour I asked, what are the colors in the rainbow? You know, sadly, a rainbow used to be a symbol of God. Now it's a symbol of the gays. Yeah. What are the colors in a rainbow? Because I submit to you, a rainbow is racist, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, Kurt, do you know the colors in the rainbow, though? Just think about looking at a rainbow. Tell me the colors, can you?
You know, the ones I used to, at least when I've seen rainbows, it seems like maybe you got four or five colors at the most.
No, there's seven, sir.
Okay, I'm just saying what I've seen.
You know? Yeah, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying.
Maybe I just misread.
Well, it's the kind of thing where, hey, some people may be a little bit colorblind or not realize the difference in the colors. It looks slightly bluer or slightly this or that, but they really consider it a different color. You know, it's hard to say. But it's all the white light from the sun broken down, right, Kurt?
All right.
So the first color is indigo. No, I'm sorry. The first color is violet.
All right.
The second color is indigo. Now, you know the difference between violet and indigo, don't you, Kurt?
I know the spelling difference.
Third one's blue.
Ooh.
Fourth one's green. Fifth one's yellow. Sixth one's orange. And then red.
I don't remember seeing orange in any rainbow that I've seen.
Well, you got orange and red.
I like orange, you know, believe me, but I just didn't remember orange in a rainbow.
Now, by the way, there's not a universal agreement on this fact even, Kurt.
Oh.
Most notably, science and science fiction writers claim it's different. It's customary to claim indigo is a color lying between green and violet. Or no, between blue and violet. But it seems, well, is it worth the dignity of it being a separate color, they debate, Kurt? But here's what I know. It's all for the white light of the sun. So white generates all these colors, right, Kurt?
All right.
Black's not in there.
Ooh.
What do you think of that, Kurt?
I think they should have some kind of revolting or what do they call it, protesting. You know what I mean? That's probably necessary now. The colors of the rainbow.
Now, Kurt, you know how you get the full color spectrum, don't you?
No.
You don't know this, Kurt? You break apart white light, my friend.
Oh.
Yeah. They say that the most natural way to create a prism is to use raindrops. That's why it's great to observe the visual spectrum by looking at a rainbow. Even a quick look at the full color spectrum makes it clearly evident that the colors are, quote, not discrete categories. In other words, one bleeds into the other, Kurt.
Of course it does.
For example, the color blue bleeds into the color green. Color green bleeds into the color yellow. The color yellow bleeds into the color orange. And the color orange bleeds into the yellow red. Right?
Huh. They even say that rainbows can be full circles, Sam.
Yeah.
I've never seen one like that. I've always just
Well, they say because all the colors bleed into one another, this idea to separate into seven colors may be arbitrary.
Huh.
But, hey, contemporary observers cannot accept this notion because we have accepted in scientific communities that there are seven colors, Kurt.
Huh. You know about double rainbows, Sam?
Do Do I know about them? I know they exist from time to time.
The Wikipedia boys say in a double rainbow, a second arc is seen outside the primary arc and has the order of its colors reversed, with red on the inner side of the arc. This is caused by the light being reflected twice on the inside of the droplet before leaving it. So, there you go.
Now I feel educated.
Yes, I bet you do.
Seven colors in the rainbow order.
Huh.
And I guess my concern about all this is there's no black in there, Kurt.
I know it's not fair. I think it's going to have to be. Maybe Congress could pass a law, Sam. I mean, if we could.
Hey, you want to know how they got the seven colors?
No. I don't want to know.
Sir Isaac Newton, sir.
Oh, yeah. The Apple guy, right?
What? The Apple guy. Isaac Newton.
The Apple guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Him and old Steve. Both Steves. Oh. Everybody's named Steve these days.
Yeah.
Anyway, all I'm telling you is strange stuff, folks. And I really don't know how to think about this exactly. You know? I don't really know how to think too much about this.
Wow.
Seven colors in the rainbow order. Are rainbows racist is the question. All right, we're talking about this livestock grazing, and protesters are greeting Ammon Bundy, who warns against environmentalists. Ammon Bundy spoke at the Range Rights and Resources Symposium at Modesto Junior College in California, Kurt. Did you see that? Any other tidbits on that?
You know, I just thought it was interesting to see. You know, he's there in Modesto, and the modb.com boys are the reporters there. The headline reads, "Calling environmentalists an enemy to humans." Bundy Ranch Sun speaks in Modesto. And these authors, of course, they, you know, they have their twist on it. It says, invoking God and railing against government and environmentalist interference, Ammon Bundy spoke at the Range Rights and Resources Symposium at the Modesto Junior College West Campus. The two-day national symposium attracted a crowd of about 50 attendees. I didn't know what was going on, but I'd sure like to have been there.
Kurt, hold on. If the liberals did it, there would have been enough fanfare and promotion, and you would have known for sure because they worked together. But when it comes to us, we don't even know what each other's doing. But they could be doing it in your backyard, dude, and you wouldn't even know.
But its main attraction, they say, was an address by Bundy, a member of a Western ranching family that made national headlines in recent years after engaging in armed standoffs with authorities.
See, that's a lie. Ammon was never armed, Kurt. It's not true.
I know, but this is just how they write it, Sam. And then they say, calling America a Bible nation, Bundy warned against environmental groups who believed in the earth over God. In the scripture in the Bible, we have guidance on what we are to do and how we are to act and what is our right and what the earth was created for, what the animals are for, what the grass is for, what the trees are for, what the fruit is for. That's what he told the attendees inside the pavilion. Do we see a different doctrine? Do these different doctrines affect us? What if I told you that these people, these individuals or groups, if they are allowed to continue with their plans, that they will entirely destroy the happiness of human life? The Bundys, then they went on to say, you know, these different things that they, you know.
By the way, I think everything you attributed Ammon Bundy to saying right there, Kurt, is spot on.
I know, Sam. Pretty good stuff, but
it's great stuff. You know, the only thing is, if you can know about it,
that God stuff in there, and that's really a problem.
But it's really great only if you know about it, Kurt. I mean, I guess it's great even if you don't know about it, but you know,
that's right. Good point. They got a one guy is a public land campaigner for the Center for Biological Diversity. He said that they wanted to come to Modesto to the Modesto event to counter Bundy's message. He says, Our main mission is to make sure the lies they tell get exposed. They think they can do whatever they want on public lands as long as they have enough cowboy hats and guns.
Isn't that exactly what the BLM and those guys would be, too? They think they can do whatever they want as long as they have plenty of government guns funded by our tax dollars to point at the American people? Kurt?
That's the way I
see. I mean, every charge they lay to us, I can just point right back at and say, hey, who started this here shindig with guns? Who brought the first guns?
They say four counter-protesters. That would be guys, you know, in favor of the Bundys, I guess.
And there was only four of them?
Yeah, well, I'm not saying there were only four.
Well, when you don't get the word out, I'm surprised there's not only four.
Yeah, they say carrying large American flags and distinctive yellow don't tread on me flags, engaged in some back and forth with the environmental protesters. That'd be pretty entertaining, I think. And had their own signs complaining of government overreach. They say during his hour-long talk, Bundy touched on topics like the recent drought and told the assembled crowd that the water shortage is a lie. He cited freshwater discharge into the ocean and a failure to collect enough of rainwater. He also claimed that any moisture that escapes the atmosphere is replaced by asteroid ice entering the atmosphere. Well, there you go. A little coverage of Ammon Bundy out in Modesto, California. Got a lot of work to do, huh, Sam?
I hear that. Wow. All right. Quick pause, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. Atheists are up next.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how to respond to this, but I got the atheists, they put their money where their mouth is too, don't they, Kurt?
Well, they're working on their own plans. The headline from Bob Unruh there, WorldNet Daily. Atheists demand IRS bill churches $1 billion. This is a demand from atheists, and they say in a case now at the 7th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, I always want to say Circus Court of Appeals. But anyway, it says churches are seeking to overturn a stunning district court decision by Judge Barbara Crabb. She's kind of crabby. At issue is the tax exemption provided for employees whose housing is determined by their employer. That includes pastors of Christian churches and leaders of congregations of other faiths, often referred to as the parsonage allowance. They say it provides that a housing allowance is not considered taxable income when the house is for the convenience of the employer. While pastors do benefit, the tax deduction also is available for workers who live overseas, employees of, well, anyway, it goes on. Now, the question is, I guess in a brief in the case, that means somebody wrote some papers about it. This was by the Beckett Fund on behalf of Chris Butler.
By the way, let me just stop you for a second. Do you know about the Beckett Fund?
Not a lot.
All right. The Beckett Fund is a phenomenal Christian organization. It's a private group of people that do put their money where their mouth is. They do tremendous work, Kurt.
Well, thank you, Sam.
Just thought I'd tell you.
How did you learn about them?
Because they're involved. I can't tell you because they might attack the people that I tell you that are involved, Kurt. So I better not. I'm just telling you that I got inside information. They're the good guys doing a great work. But if I told you, Kurt, publicly, all the enemies of liberty would attack all those groups, wouldn't they, Kurt? Just like they attack us with our advertisers.
Good point.
So we've got to be careful. I can tell you off air, though. I'm glad to share the information. I just don't want to, you know. But the Beckett Fund, do some research. Great people. Good job.
Well, good. And so they filed this brief on behalf of a guy named Chris Butler. He's a pastor from the south side of Chicago. And they contend that ending the housing allowance would discriminate against religious groups by treating them worse than many other secular employees who receive similar tax treatment. I guess this Chris Butler is a leader of a predominantly, get this, African-American congregation whose ministry includes mentoring at-risk youth, decreasing neighborhood crime, and caring for the homeless in Chicago's neediest neighborhoods, according to the Beckett Fund folks. For the majority of churches, this is what they wrote, I guess, for the majority of churches, the pastors are like me. This is that Chris Butler saying this, and experience at some levels the same problems that we're trying to face in the community. If you take away even a little bit, it can become a lot of trouble quickly. They say the federal tax code for 64 years has allowed pastors, rabbis, imams, and other faith leaders to receive tax-free housing allowances under the same tax principle that allows teachers, business leaders, military service members, and hundreds of thousands of other workers to receive tax-free housing for their jobs. Then came the atheist FFRF, Freedom From Religion Foundation, back in 2011, with its demand that the IRS end the exemption for faith leaders. But the Beckett boys says... But the IRS would be discriminating against religious groups if it ended their housing allowance when so many secular businesses and organizations receive similar tax treatment. I hate to read the whole thing except for it's, so good.
What's the real core issue, Kurt?
Well, at least to me, the real core issue, if you eliminate the income tax and the whole IRS thing, then you don't even have to worry about any of this.
Whoa. Then you won't even have to worry about special privilege or government kind of driving a wedge or any of that kind of stuff. That's pretty good. I like that. I think that's fantastic. That is the solution, isn't it?
Just imagine that. And wouldn't it be nice if Bob would have put at least a line in there about that? Maybe he just doesn't know, but it seems like that would be the fix, at least one of them.
Just shut down the IRS, and then there won't be any special privileges or any hostilities or any divisions or compromise or confusion or moral hazard or anything.
It's like these stories we read about the, you know, the evil guys that call up and say, this is the IRS. You better send so much money to us and get a prepaid Visa card to give us your money and all that stuff. And then they say, oh, these evil guys are, you know, pretending like they're IRS. Wouldn't it be easy if they just said, hey, we've got the fix for this, you know, and here's what it is, right?
Yeah.
But I haven't heard them say that. They just missed that, I think.
Wow. There's an article that I want to talk about really quick, Kurt.
Yeah?
The article is called The Renegade Sheriffs.
Oh.
They say it's a law enforcement movement that claims to answer only to the Constitution. Wow. Ashley Powers writes the piece. Kurt, do you know about this?
No. I mean, imagine that.
It's the NewYorker.com is where it appears. The story is absolute propaganda bogus. Okay? The Renegade Sheriffs, a law enforcement movement that only answers to the Constitution. And it's by Ashley Powers, written by the New Yorker. And I submit to you that this whole article is propaganda of the highest order, Kurt. Now, let me just tell you how the story goes. It's really long. And on the radio, we just can't cover the details of these long articles and read all of them. But they start out talking about this county in Florida called Liberty County. And they go on to talk about this former sheriff by the name of Nick Finch. We happen to know a ton about this case.
Yeah.
Nick Finch is a personal friend. And anyway, long story short, they talk about this guy that got arrested because he had a gun and no concealed carry permit.
Right.
And it goes in and talks about how Nick Finch let the guy go.
Yep.
And then it goes into talking about Denny Pyman, another former sheriff that said no gun control in my county,
yep,
in Kentucky. And it goes into David A. Clark Jr. and Richard Mack. And then it goes into the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. And they say there's about 3,000 sheriffs in the United States. They say that about 5,000 members are part of the CSPOA. And then they go on to talk about certain sheriffs are aligned with this group, these renegade sheriffs, a law enforcement movement that claims to answer only to the Constitution. Then they go on and they trace the sheriff back to the Shire in England and how he was kind of a one-man government, Kurt. And they kind of make you believe that this is some rogue element that doesn't answer to any government. And then they go into the lies about how they manipulate the Constitution. And they say that the Constitution says that federal law trumps state law. Go look at the Supremacy Clause. And I would argue that that's a flagrant manipulation of the Supremacy Clause. That's not at all what it means. The Supremacy Clause does mean that the federal government has delegated authority that does supersede the states, but only in the given listed enumerated realities. In other words, government is divided. And the 10th Amendment says anything that we don't specifically give you is reserved to the states. And so there's a dual sovereignty. If you don't believe me, ask Antonin Scalia, who's now passed away. Ask him. He's the one that wrote that in the Sheriff Mack case against Bill Clinton, where Sheriff Richard Mack and Prince and other sheriffs won and beat Bill Clinton to the Supreme Court. Anyway, I digress, except to tell you that there is a dual supremacy clause, or a dual sovereignty clause. And that means that the federal government does have absolute power within its jurisdiction, its limited delegated authority. But the states have all powers not specifically delegated. Those are reserved to the states, if you read the 10th Amendment. Bottom line is they manipulate the Constitution. They act like this is a rogue sheriff's movement, and they call it Renegade Sheriffs, a law enforcement movement that claims to answer only to the Constitution. Ashley Powers writes the deceptive article. Well, I happen to be the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association operations manager, so I know a little bit about the truth. I'll lay it out for you in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Pretty protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Dear Christine, I wanted to write and tell you some exciting news.
What are you doing?
Oh, hi. I'm writing Christine a letter to tell her about Emily's first tooth.
At 2 o'clock in the morning?
It's a mom thing.
I'll get her.
I don't have the words to thank you for having the courage to give us our most precious gift. We can only thank you by raising her the way you'd always hoped. How'd you get her to sleep so fast?
It's a dad thing. Honey, will you tell her thanks from me?
Of course I will. Adoption. It's about love. A message from LDS Family Services.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211, and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
We're talking about this fake news full of lies article written in the New Yorker titled The Renegade Sheriffs, a law enforcement movement that claims to answer only to the Constitution. Ashley Powers writes the deceptive, dishonest article. And I'm here to challenge it. I happen to be the chief operations officer for the CSPOA, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. I happen to know a little bit about which I speak. All right, let me explain what we really think, because they're lying to you. We do not believe that sheriffs only answer to the Constitution, that they're a one-man law enforcement vanguard, whatever. It's bogus. All right, now, we know from the Supreme Court case where Richard Mack beat Bill Clinton at the Supreme Court, we know that there are dual sovereignties in America between the federal government and the states. That's beyond debate. It's articulated by a Supreme Court recent decision. All right? The federal government does have absolute supremacy clause jurisdiction within the delegated authority given to it via the supreme law. All other rights, obligations, responsibilities, powers rely with the states and the people, respectively, articulates the 10th Amendment. All right? So what we believe is we're talking about jurisdictional boundaries and authority. The federal government, in its 10-mile square Washington, D.C., has absolute power. And the federal government does have power over enumerated powers delegated on loan from the consent of the governed, writes the Declaration of Independence. So we believe that there are jurisdictional boundaries, even on the federal government. The liars would have you believe there are no boundaries. The federal government of the United States just controls the whole world. Well, all kinds of nations are rejecting that false narrative, and so are people in the several states, justly so, based on the supreme law. Now, we believe in checks and balances, as I continually refer to. That's why there is dual sovereignty between the states and the federal government. That's why the federal government has supremacy within its limited delegation. True. But the states have a much broader responsibility, and they are dual sovereignties with the federal government. We are united in terms of states. That's why the supreme law, delegating authority, limited scope authority to the federal government to carry out things that cross state boundaries, that unify the states, that provide for universal protection, etc. Okay? But the states have broad authority. Just go look at the Supreme Court case where Antonin Scalia wrote the majority decision in favor of Richard Mack against Bill Clinton. All right? And the federal government. Now, I bring that up so that you understand, if we're so renegade, why would we go to the courts and get a win? And if we're so renegade, why do the courts agree with us and not with Bill Clinton and these deceptive, dishonest liars? Now, I mentioned the checks and balances. So at the federal level, you got the judiciary, that's the courts. You got the executive, that's the president, and the legislative, that's the Congress, right? So on the federal level, they're divided into three jurisdictions on purpose to separate power and protect the people so that no group gets too powerful. They're supposed to have a check and balance to rein in each other's shenanigans. Well, the same thing is true between the federal government and the states. That power is divided again with another check and balance to rein in shenanigans. That's why there's jurisdictional boundaries. If the federal government wants land in a given state, they must go to the state and ask permission to purchase the land by the legislative body. So on the state level, you have these three jurisdictions as well. You got the, what, governor, that's the equivalent of executive branch. You got state appellate courts and state courts. You've also got legislative bodies in every given state. Again, broken down into the three jurisdictional separations of powers. Well, the counties and the states are kind of like the states and the federal government. There is a sovereignty jurisdictional reality there as well. Counties are political subdivisions of the states. By the way, the federal government is a creation of the states as well. Do not forget that when you discuss sovereignty. Nevertheless, counties and states have a balance of jurisdictional responsibility and authority as well. So a sheriff is like the executive of a county, carrying out the laws and duties as the sheriff should. There are legislative bodies in the county too, usually called the county commission. They're kind of the legislators there, equivalent, if you will. There's also the DA or the district's office or the judges in a given county that make up the judiciary there. We do not believe that the judge can or the sheriff can just act rogue and thumb his nose at everybody all the time, anytime. And he's a one man wrecking crew or a one man authority that only answers to the supreme law of the land. We don't believe that. That's a lie. We do believe that the sheriff, as do other officers at all levels of government, swear an oath to the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, and he has a duty, and he is bound by that oath. We do agree with that. We also agree that he is elected by the people, which puts him in the very unique position to carry out the people's will. The judges aren't elected by the people. They might be voted up or down to retain or not, but they're not literally elected necessarily by the people. You could say, well, yeah, they are, Sam. My response is just try to remove one, and we'll talk about that. Right? Okay. Now, the sheriff has an obligation, an oath to uphold the Constitution. That's true. He also has an oath to understand these jurisdictional boundaries that I articulate. He also has a responsibility to uphold the law when any other government agency or division of power acts out of line. If the federal government crosses jurisdictional boundaries and violates the law, like the Brady Bill, asking Sheriff Mack in Graham County, Arizona, to break the law, the sheriff has the duty, the obligation, the God-given responsibility, based on his oath of office, to challenge that. Sheriff Richard Mack did so and won at the Supreme Court. Now, is that just running around rogue, acting like you're a renegade sheriff? I don't think so. Sounds like Bill Clinton was running around rogue and had to be stopped by a good, honest sheriff that understood his oath of office and believed in the jurisdictional boundaries that I speak of. In fact, Antonin Scalia wrote the majority decision and articulated as much. That there are separations. There are dual sovereignties here. There are jurisdictional boundaries that must be understood. And that the state/county employees are not subjects of the federal government. They don't have to do whatever the feds say. All right, now, I do believe that the sheriff has executive authority in a county, as I do believe the governor has executive authority in his state, as I do the president has executive authority at the federal level, carrying out their jurisdictional responsibilities, using the separation of powers to protect the people. And I believe that the sheriff, since the state created the counties, has a responsibility to the state and the separation of powers within that given state as well. I also believe that the sheriff has responsibilities to the district attorney and the courts, as well as the sheriff has a responsibility to the given equivalent of a legislative body, the county commission or whatever you want to call them in the county. There are different things based on the county structure. Nevertheless, all up and down the line of governmental jurisdictional reality are separations of powers, separating the counties from the states from the feds, separating the judicial from the legislative from the executive. All these vertical and horizontal lines are drawn to divide power and protect the people. So a sheriff has broad authority within his county without question, and he has the right to challenge the authority of anybody coming into his county. But that doesn't mean that we think he can just act as a one-man wrecking crew and go rogue and do whatever he wants to. We don't believe that for a second and never have. But we do believe the Constitution codifies these separations of powers. We do believe the Constitution does delegate, by the consent of the governed, appropriate powers to given jurisdictions. And we believe that the Constitution ought to be obeyed, but so should the jurisdictional boundaries be obeyed that the federal government seems to have lost sight of. We reject the judge, jury, and executioner idea from anyone. But we believe in the broad authority delegated to these different branches of government, all up and down the line of horizontal and vertical separation of powers, but grant that are delegated authority to these given individuals. So when the Nick Finch case happened, Nick Finch had a right to not arrest that guy based on the Second Amendment. The governor disagreed and threw Nick Finch in jail and yanked his sheriff's badge. But when Nick Finch went to court in Liberty County, again, Nick Finch went to court just like Richard Mack did. We had Richard Mack attend this event and report as live as he could get, because you can't be on live in the courtroom, but he came straight out of the court after viewing it and went on Liberty Roundtable live. The court was a kangaroo joke. But at the end of the day, the jury said Nick Finch not guilty. And Nick Finch got back his position. The governor was shut down. They even had to pay Nick Finch back pay for their abuses of the good sheriff. And they want to run around and act like we believe that the sheriff can do whatever he wants anytime he wants. How come when it goes wrong and we believe that they're out of line, we go to the courts to have a restitution of honor and an appropriate separation of powers and rein in the other powers if we're so rogue? This renegade sheriff story is an outright complete lie that attacks Nick Finch. It attacks David Clark. It attacks Denny Payman of Kentucky. Why did Denny stay out of jail and all these other folks went to jail under his watch, Kurt? We could go on and on and on about this, but the courts are on our side. The constitutional sheriff is valuable. That's who he swears an oath to, is the Constitution, which means the people. And he agrees to honor these separations of jurisdiction and separations of power that I speak of. When we come back, let's get Kurt's take on the story. We got a couple of other articles before the end of the hour to break down just for you as well. Deja vu, we'll talk about that coming up. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. While they say we violate all the laws and we go to court and win, they're really violating the laws. We'll talk about it as Liberty Roundtable Live continues on your favorite talk station.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
The enemies of liberty are coalescing in New York, to say the least. The headline, the Renegade Sheriffs, a law enforcement movement that claims to answer only to the Constitution, writes the New Yorker. There's another article in the New York Times that dovetails with this very well that says this. What is a sovereign citizen? And they go on and explain this sovereign citizenry movement. And they literally lie about all of us, Kurt. And they want you to believe that anybody that stands for liberty is some rogue agent, whether they work for government or not, whether they've sworn an oath to the Constitution or not. Anybody that doesn't go along with their tyrannical agenda is somehow a rogue agent. And they want you to believe that when it comes to the sovereign citizen movement. Now, there are people that do some things in that movement that I disagree with. But this lie is that they're attacking all of us. And if you don't go along with their tyranny, you are some part of the rogue agent that needs to be shut down, lied about, abused, manipulated, etc., Kurt. And they lie about what we believe, what we think, what we say, what we do in their effort to literally force tyranny down our throats, Kurt. Any comments on these two quick articles?
Great point, Sam. And like you say, the New Yorker's piece is pretty big. And that lady actually, came to some of our events. Like her final paragraph, she says, Finch remains a powerful symbol for constitutional sheriffs. The day after Trump's inauguration, under a gray, drizzling sky, I drove to an embassy suites near the Baltimore airport for a CSPOA training workshop. While I waited at a table in the lobby for my packet and my black and gold lanyard that said I was part of the posse, I don't remember that part on there, but anyway, a group
of... Yeah, Kurt, we don't even know that it said you were part of the posse.
Yeah, it says a group of pink pussy-hatted women passed by on their way to the Women's March in Washington. In a conference room, the CSPOA audience flipped through their Making of America booklets. Mac wasn't there, but via a video monitor, he introduced Finch as a sheriff whose strong stand for freedom had cost him his badge. Finch stood up, put his hand over his heart, and led the room in the Pledge of Allegiance.
See how rough it gets, stuff, ladies and gentlemen?
I remember being there, and then I looked at this little line right below that. See, that's right the end of the article. So you're way down where most people will never get
and
to.
And I'm telling you, this article is longer than heck. You guys heard me you. I summarized the detail pretty good after reading the whole thing, didn't I, Kurt?
Yeah. Anyway, so right there, right after it says, reporting for this piece was supported, that means help paid for, by a grant from the Reporting Award at NYU's Arthur L. Carter Journalism Institute. So I looked up this whole NYU thing, Sam. I don't know how much you've studied about NYU, but, it's in Wikipedia, they call it New York University, and apparently, Sam, they say it's a private, nonprofit research university based in New York. But you'll be happy to know, Sam, they have campuses that are based in Manhattan, Greenwich Village and campuses based throughout New York, as well as it's a worldwide university, and they operate in Abu Dhabi, Shanghai, Accra, Ghana, Berlin, Buenos Aires, Florence, London, Madrid, Paris, Prague, Prague, I guess it is, Sydney, Tel Aviv, and Washington, D.C. So these guys are, well, I mean, this is almost as big as like the CFR, but they tout that they have a whole bunch of guys. They've got a massive endowment, they say, of $3.991 billion. Their budget's $11.945 billion, they say. This is kind of a big deal, and it's interesting to see where some of the funding for that thing goes.
Well, my problem is, too, is this person, I think, went there in stealth. I don't really remember. I was kind of the organizer of that whole event, by the way, Kurt.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not trying to take singular credit. There was a lot of people that helped me. I'm just telling you that I was involved in it completely.
Yep.
So my goal is not to take credit. My goal is to tell you that I was involved enough to where, hey, and I don't remember anybody from the New Yorker coming and saying, hey, we're here to write a piece and have a chance to honestly talk to the media and all that kind of stuff. What they do is they try to attend our stuff in stealth, in my opinion, oftentimes dishonestly. Nevertheless, I don't care that they were there because I have nothing to hide, Kurt.
Right.
But I just find that part fascinating. Anyway, the reason that I bring this up, though, is, you know, they didn't tell us any of that stuff, Kurt.
No.
Did they tell you that stuff?
Anybody saying that they were from the New Yorker?
Now, while they lie about what is a sovereign citizen, and while they lie about the renegade sheriffs, this poor lady, shame on her. I don't know that she called me or anybody else before writing the article. What about our side that I've articulated on the radio? That none of that side gets told.
By the way, Sam, the New Yorker's having a spring sale. You can get 12 weeks. Well, it was for $12, and now it's only $6.
It just means they're melting down.
Everybody else, I agree.
And they, you know, got to give these massive discounts to even survive. Anyway, the last headline that I want to talk about kind of articulates it. Because while they run around and say that we're rogue and that we're, like, not really obeying the law, kind of that lie, Kurt, I submit to you that these guys aren't obeying the law. Headline says, Deja Vu, written by Larry Klayman, Kurt.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's right, and Larry knows what he's talking about, doesn't he, Sam?
I think he does, absolutely.
He continues.
And by the way, just really quick, this guy, if you don't believe he believes in government or the proper role of government, then why does he use the courts to create accountability? Why is he an attorney? Why is he past the bar? And why is he literally working with legislative bodies across the country? For the same reason we are. We're not rogue like they tell you we are. However, I submit to you that they call us rogue because they're really rogue, Kurt.
Good point. You know, and Larry Klayman in this piece where he says elite criminals go scot-free, he says, are you tired of seeing young whippersnappers, cocky millennials with no legal experience on Fox News telling us the way the capital of corruption works when it comes to law enforcement? He says, when I turned on the television to get an update on what was happening in the latest Mueller saga, as I am this week on the left coast, he says, and 3 hours behind the swamp, I was treated to the commentary of Fox's newest young rising star, pundit Guy Benson, who apparently is even being given his own show. And while he's a smart kid, he's just a kid. Guy, like other attractive pundits who are given an audience on the network, is clueless to the way our corrupt law enforcement establishment works. With great self-assurance and confidence, Larry Klayman continues, and with a friendly smile, obviously to keep his analyses politically and socially acceptable so he could leave the door open should he ever be offered a better gig on CNN, MSNBC, or CBS.
Or a chance to run for office should the opportunity present itself.
Of course. As many of his so-called conservative colleagues have done, Guy smugly made it a point of saying, as it as is also the mantra of the ill-informed or lying D.C. establishment, that Mueller would likely soon wrap up his Russian collusion and so-called related investigations, since everyone knows that he's a man of integrity. Larry Klayman said, "Hearing this, I nearly threw up." He says, "On the other side of the experience spectrum, someone I respect and am thankful that President Trump hired to join his legal team of Jay Sekulow and Ty Cobb, to use the term loosely, given their demonstrated complete incompetence to date, is Rudy Giuliani. In announcing that he would take one for the Gipper and enter the fray, the former U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York, Deputy Attorney General, Mayor of New York City, and later presidential candidate himself boasted that he could somehow tame Mueller and his crooked ultra-leftist prosecutorial staff, since having worked with Mueller when the latter was FBI director, he knows him to be a man of integrity. Suggesting that the Mueller Larry Klayman goes on, but the bottom line is, like he says in the headline, the elite criminals go scot-free.
And he highlights this deja vu part, Kurt, yeah, which says, you know, this happens over and over and over, right? That's the deja vu part.
Well, we see it all the time.
And this is an example where the New Yorker literally talks about these rogue sheriffs or something, where the New York Times talks about sovereign citizens as if somehow we're all rogue. But yet Larry Klayman, a well-known attorney at the law who's created plenty of accountability over his days, literally says, hey, they're the ones that are criminals. They're the ones that don't obey the laws. They're the ones that are above the law, that violate national security, that violate, what's it called when things are secret?
Where they can't classified, talk about it.
Yeah, classified information and gag orders on law cases and everything else.
That's
they
right.
violate this stuff routinely. Redacted. They have leaks and redactings. And Larry just says, I've been on the inside of this thing for decades, and I'm telling you right now, these people are deja vu rogue thugs with no accountability. And then they run around and have their media write pieces to say, Kurt is a sovereign citizen, and he's part of a rogue sheriff movement. And that Sam is worse than Kurt, because Sam's the one that built it and owns it.
Yeah, that's right.
Kurt's just a sidekick accomplice.
Larry gives us some suggestions. He says, it's time that we the people stop drinking the Kool-Aid from the likes of Hannity on Fox News, designed mostly to boost ratings. Nothing will happen to either Mueller, Comey, the Clintons, Obamas, Soros, or the rest of their wretched lot until someone like yours truly is appointed special counsel. Good point.
Donald's not going to do that because he loves the wretched lot, Kurt.
Yeah,
he pretends he doesn't, but he does. And the proof is in the pudding of every time he puts a new guy in office. It's one of these long-time insiders, isn't it, Kurt? Look at Mike Pompeo, for example.
Yeah, good point. So Larry Klayman, he says freedomwatchusa.org. You can check it out a little bit more. We the people can no longer be fooled. It's time for action, real action. Join and support our citizens' army, he said. I go into Freedom Watch USA.
Now, be careful, though. Just make sure it's not a sovereign citizen's army there now, Kurt.
Good point.
Yes. But all I'm telling you is this is what we're talking about, and they lie about us. We try to tell the truth. We try to stand up. They attend our conferences. They know there was no law-breaking at the conference. They didn't mention the congressman that spoke at our conference either, did they, Kurt?
They forgot to mention Andy Biggs,
Yeah. They also forgot to mention some of the things that I said at the conference about the dishonesty in the media and such like that.
Yeah.
And they're sitting there knowing that I'm speaking about this while they dishonestly attend, and then they report on us so far later that they think we're stupid enough where we won't connect the dots. Wow. So let me get this right. Nick Finch wins at the Supreme Court. We write an article, There's Liberty in Liberty County. Sheriff Richard Mack wins at the Supreme Court. We have an event where we talk about the proper role of limited government, obeying all the laws, and they literally manipulate the truth and lie about us. When the Southern Poverty Law Center tried that, we threatened to sue their socks off, and they corrected their story and wrote an apology to good Sheriff Richard Mack. So who's rogue and who's genuine, ladies and gentlemen? The only problem we have is we don't have any money, and therefore it's really hard to get the word out. about our side of the story. But we're doing the best we can, and with your help, we shall succeed. LibertyRoundtable.com, donate today. LibertyNewsRadio.com for incredible talk radio. We declare this nation shall endure.